Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. We're talking today about the importance of history, exam, and diagnostics before you begin care, correct?
Absolutely. I consider that such a critical part. If you don't know what's going on, how do you treat?
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I considered it so important that I actually got a diplomat in internal diagnostics because the importance of really understanding the patient's case to really have the feeling that I know exactly what's going on is very critical to me as a doctor.
And the diplomat that you got, explain that. It's
sure.
A diplomat in the American Board
of
right?
Chiropractic Internists. And as I started my chiropractic profession, I realized that though we had an excellent education, I really wanted to be able to get a lot more in depth in understanding that. So I took a 3-year postgraduate course in internal diagnostics, all the different aspects that was involved in that, and found that that was extremely helpful and really improved the outcome for my patients.
Mm-hmm.
It was something difficult to do, but it was certainly well worth it though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those trips, what, one weekend a month?
Right.
We had 3 little ones.
Yes,
up
yes.
To,
you were a very patient wife. You really didn't complain that much.
No, I knew it was important.
Right.
So have you ever been asked by a patient to treat them without a history exam?
I have. The majority of patients really want me to know, but I do have people who come in and say, you know, I just want a treatment. I really don't want to go through all the rigmarole on that, and that always raises a red flag for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I say, well, how do I really know what's going on? And will just
right.
a treatment be effective? Is there something I'm missing? Is the treatment actually going to cause harm? I can think of several examples of situations where it would have been disastrous. I had a gentleman who came in and in terrible, terrible low back pain. He had been going to another chiropractor. Chiropractor was on vacation, and he says, you know, I just need adjustment for my back. And he came in, and I says, well, you know, I'm going to need to examine you. And he says, I'm in a lot of pain. I'm busy.
Just get me out of pain.
Yeah, just get me out of pain. Get me adjusted. Mm-hmm. You know, I know what I'm doing. You know, I refused. And he almost left, and he says, you know, I'm here. You know, I give up.
Mm-hmm.
And come to find out, he had aortic aneurysm about ready to burst.
Oh my gosh.
And any type of an adjustment could have just kicked that off. Sent him down to the emergency room and his emergency surgery and saved his life.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I wasn't willing to take the shortcut.
Right.
That's one example that I can think of. There was a young man who came in. He had heard that I did really well, and he had actually been to, because he was having low back pain.
Mm-hmm.
And he had been to his primary care, a quick check, you know, med check type of place,
mm-hmm.
and had been to 3 other chiropractors. And he said, you know, it's really flaring up. I just want an adjustment. And I was doing some history. I was asking him quite a few questions. He was annoyed. But he started, you know, I asked him his bowel movements and mm-hmm. things like that. And
he goes, what does that have to do with my
right.
low back?
And anyway, we did an exam, got some history from him that really raised up some red flags. And long story made short, he wound up having colon cancer. And he was 28, and nobody suspected colon cancer.
Right.
But from the examination and his history and, you know, checking out the back, I said, you know, you don't have anything wrong with your back. It's coming from the bowels right in through here. And then I was getting the full story. Got him immediately over to the emergency room, and he had full-blown colon cancer.
Oh.
So, again, I don't really believe in taking shortcuts, and I've got story after story of that,
mm-hmm.
that not having the proper procedures, and there are, not only do I say that, but these are requirements to maintain our license, to, you know, what is the standard of care? And the standard of care is designed for the protection of the patient.
Mm-hmm.
And the standard of care is basically the minimum of what you should do. And we definitely go beyond that, mm-hmm. you know, in our office on the minimum. And I just don't compromise on that.
Right.
You know?
Have you had any patients leave?
I have had patients leave
mm-hmm.
that felt that they knew best.
Mm-hmm.
And it might have just been something easy, but I never take that chance. And, you know, if this is a continuing type of problem, I'm looking for patients who really want to get well,
mm-hmm.
not just a quick fix.
Good. Well, why would a patient want just a treatment instead of a thorough history, exam,
sure.
diagnostic?
Probably one of the things is time commitment. We're all very busy.
Rushed and busy.
You know, one of the things that is very true is people have said, wow, you know, it really takes a long time to get through the whole procedures. But again, we want to be thorough, and your health is important.
Mm-hmm.
I had one woman come up, and we had tried to explain to her how long, but she came up and said, I have a hair appointment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, ma'am, we feel that you have something really serious going on
mm-hmm.
that could risk your life. Your hair appointment really can wait.
Mm. But I have a hair appointment.
I have a hair appointment, or I have to get my nails done,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Or I need to take my dog to the vet. These animals are, you know,
people are taking
care of their animals better than they're taking care of their own health.
Yeah, I had a patient that I was actually had him on a special program because they had so many health problems. And this woman came in and said, you know, I won't be able to do this for a couple months until I catch up. And I mean, she had life-threatening condition.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, you know, what's happened? And she said, they found a tumor on my 13-year-old cat, and I spent $6,000. And her whole care wasn't half of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
you should have been a vet, honey.
I'm like, the cat's 13 years old. But yes, we've had people walk out. And you know, you were talking about, you know, you've got time commitment.
Uh-huh.
One guy accused me of, you probably do the same thing on everybody,
mm-hmm.
and you're just trying to get more money from me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, first off, no, we don't do the same thing on everybody. We hardly ever do the same thing on anybody.
Right.
And then second, these are the prices that we have
mm-hmm.
aren't established by us.
Mm-hmm.
There's usual and customary fees that are across the board. And we accept those. We have a third-party company that actually designs out what we charge on a regular basis. So these are normal, customary things that should be done.
Mm-hmm.
We're not gouging it. And we're certainly the time that we spend on that. In other words, you can make more money just by getting people in and out.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It's opposite.
Mm-hmm.
The people who are interested in money time out how long it takes you to see someone.
Mm-hmm.
And jack it up so that they can make the most amount of money per time. That's how you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Exams, histories, time and money, you do not make money on those.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that you do those is because you're interested in patient care. If you're only interested in the money, then you get people in and out quick.
Yeah, and they want to rush through the paperwork when it comes to the history.
Right.
And we have to have them go back
and
answer the questions.
Right.
Yeah.
And all those things are actually important.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing of time and money, they don't understand. It's also a matter of not comprehending of what we're trying to do.
And you said, you know, it is required by your license, history exam, diagnostic. My license
Absolutely.
Also as an occupational therapist.
Absolutely.
And how do you know where you're going in treatment if you haven't done a thorough exam?
Right. The rules are there for the protection of the population, not for the protection of the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
It is there to protect people from people who are just interested in making money.
Yeah. And a lot of times, you know, the stories you've already told, people come in with low back pain, but you found kidneys,
right.
The issue by just palpating.
Sure, we found multiple myeloma in people. We found a tremendous amount of things, and then we also found out really how, even on a regular type of a case, what it takes to really get them well and keep them well.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are things that will age you and eventually kill you if you don't get them fixed.
Right. Well, up next, we'll be continuing to talk about the importance of the history exam and diagnostics. You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
So how is the thyroid best checked?
The thyroid is checked with blood tests. A very common thing that occurs is that doctors check your thyroid and just check the TSH and say, oh, you're fine. It's not high. But the thyroid is much more involved than that. Matter of fact, we have about 35 blood tests for that. And one of the most important ones is the iodine levels. Because even if your thyroid levels are normal, if your iodine is low, then you don't have a properly functioning thyroid hormones.
Well, I know in our extensive blood work, iodine is included.
Iodine is included, especially here in Indiana. You need to include that because otherwise you're missing a very big factor along those lines. People have been said, hey, you know, your thyroid's fine. We recheck it and then also do much further blood tests, especially the iodine. Mm-hmm. And once we get all those things balanced out, all of those symptoms that are coming from the low thyroid go away.
And you're talking about sometimes people come in and say, well, I was told my thyroid is fine, but they're just checking.
They're not really being thorough on the thyroid blood work. And you're not really checking the thyroid completely if you're not doing the iodine test too. Right. Otherwise, if your iodine's low, it doesn't matter what the thyroid levels on the hormones say, because it's not going to be an active thyroid hormones.
So very important, the iodine.
Very important.
Included in the Prather profile.
That is.
Well, what is the percentage of people whose thyroid checks out normal?
Interestingly, in our office, it's only about 5%.
That have a normal thyroid.
Have a normal functioning thyroid.
Wow, 5%.
Right. Now, that's according not to disease care model, but according to the homeostasis. Mm-hmm. You know, what we deal with structure function. So once we can get people's thyroids actually normalized, it's amazing how many of those symptoms go away. It really has a very, very specific numbers is what is ideal. And it's ideal in everyone. One of the things that I've done is being able to educate the medical doctor and the nurse practitioners who come into our office. Because they're like, well, the thyroid's normal. And I say, no, it's not. I have to show them on that as we start to get them trained. Show them how important that is to get those thyroid numbers exactly where they need to be. And then all of a sudden, people say their symptoms go away. We can tell exactly when we get the numbers absolutely perfect that the person's going to get better. So the blood work is extremely accurate. It's just that they weren't being specific enough and thorough enough.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
Ah! I feel good. I knew that I would not.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. We're talking today about the importance of history exam and diagnostics. And Dr. Prather, it's interesting, the stories, you know, you were telling, and people want to just skip that. And
One of the things is that there are some clinics that are out there that they've eliminated those things because they found that they do annoy people and you can make more money by not doing it. And I am getting people in who have gone to see them, and there usually is almost always things that are missed, you know, in the whole treatment program. So this is something that has been adopted, has put out there, and you need to have someone who's really watching your care. The quick type of fix, especially within chiropractic, most people are going in for pain. Pain is a warning sign. Just trying to get the pain under control, whether it's through medication or adjustment or anything without really finding out what's going on, the reason behind it. I mean, you definitely want to get the pain under control, but you need to find the underlying reason. In other words, it's a warning sign. And just because you turned off the alarm bell doesn't mean the problem's gone. So The reason that we're doing this show is that this is a concept that has been put out there, and it's something that is going on, and I feel very strongly that this is not a good trend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just, you know, your thorough schooling with the diplomat in the internal diagnostics prepared you to do a thorough exam.
Sure.
And, well, let's talk about the importance of a thorough history. Why take a history on a patient?
Very brilliant people who I was able, privileged to learn from, so that you're going to get 90% of what's going on from the history.
Hmm.
You know, so a good history that can tell you 90% of what, and then you do the examination to confirm mm-hmm. what you found in the history. But the history is really where you're going to get the basis of your care from. So getting that thorough history, all the different components of that, and understanding not only the physicality of it, but also the emotional portion, where the patient's coming from, how to relate to them. The history designs out the basis of your care, and any time that history is skipped, there's going to be a failure in care.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest problems that patients relate to me is that they feel that they aren't being listened to.
Mm, yeah, we hear that a lot.
And we really try to make sure that we have that taken care of within our office,
mm-hmm.
is that the patient is listened to, because there are so many times that the key to their care, the success of their care, is completely from the history that the patient gives me. And then that cuts through and gets me to the core of the problem much, much quicker than if that had been skipped.
And where is the history done in your office?
One of the things is, if you get them into the exam room and try to get the history in there, kind of a sterile environment, they need to mm-hmm. be, and it's kind of strange. And
people, ours isn't sterile, though. We got beautifully colored walls.
Well, no. That's the exam room,
right.
I said.
Yeah.
What we do is we take our history in a nice, almost like a living room type area.
Right.
Where people feel comfortable, they're sitting in a couch. You know, familiarity helps people to relax, and if people are relaxed, then they can relate better.
If they're comfortable, yeah.
If they're comfortable. So as we're doing the history, we try to make sure that the patient isn't in a gown, sitting on an exam table, and people poking
cold.
And prodding on them.
Yeah.
What we try to do is get it in a nice, comfortable area that people are familiar with, and relaxed, and can enjoy themselves, and then be able to, oh yes, I remember this.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a difference.
So what kind of information are you trying to get from the history? Are you looking for?
It's sometimes rather interesting, as they're going through things, patients sometimes have no idea that that particular issue was important.
Mm-hmm.
One patient had a huge host of autoimmune diseases, one thing after another, and had been to Cleveland, Mayo, John Hopkins, and really no success. And as she was talking, she said that she had gotten an upper respiratory infection, had taken a couple of different medications, and everything seemed to start out from there. And I said, well, have you told that to any people? She said, well, I did it first, and then I stopped saying it because nobody seemed to be really interested.
Mm.
And that was the key.
Mm.
It was an interaction because, and that it was a standard type of thing. It told me the whole cascade of what had happened. Everything fit in. It was a combination of an infection with certain medications, starting a definite syndrome. It was, mm-hmm. Classic textbook mm-hmm. situation. And, that was the key. It also gave me exactly how to treat it. And we had excellent success. And it was those combination of just those two things that happened 5 years ago that it seemed unimportant to her. But it was the total key to the whole problem.
Well, what did she say? Because no one seemed to care about it.
Well, it was at the beginning she told them, but then nobody seemed to react, so she just kind of forgot it. And I kept on asking questions, take mm-hmm. me back, because I really wasn't getting the full... I knew there was
it's
something
like
missing.
It's like being an investigator.
Yeah, it's being a detective.
Uh-huh.
And you're looking for clues, you're looking for statements from people to try to put things together. Then, of course, we did the exams and the lab tests that were associated with that, and everything showed up positive.
Mm-hmm.
And we started her on some specific programs, and amazing results.
Mm-hmm.
But if I didn't put that together, and I had to ask her about 10 leading questions to get back to that. Well, you know, what was it? When did it really start?
Mm-hmm.
What was kind of a key? Did you happen to have an infection?
Mm-hmm.
Did you take some medications afterwards? Which medications? And as soon as she said that, it was just like, oh, ho, okay.
Uh-huh.
Now we understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I understand what happened when her immune system crashed, you know, the lung problems, the autoimmune reactions. It all started to take place, and then cascade after cascade of one thing collapsing after another. And what they were actually treating her for was about 5 steps down from the original problem.
Mm-hmm.
And as we went back to the original problem, treated that, all the other things cleared up. Whereas if you were taking care of just the surface problem, it was a frustrating, and basically all the doctors had said, don't bother, you know, there's nothing anybody can do for you.
Mm-hmm.
We've tried everything.
And just think about the time she saved by having a thorough history done.
I just wasn't letting her go until I got to the root of it.
Yeah.
I just kept on asking questions, and it took a while.
Mm-hmm. Any other examples of history and the importance of history before we go on to examination?
Even the family histories. As I was talking to a patient, you know, I was asking about family members and their health and what they died of, and they had died of different things. I was asking questions about it. Oh, yes, they all had fatty degenerative liver.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, so you had 4 ancestors and uncles and stuff with that? Well, why don't we get an ultrasound on that and see if that's what's going on?
Mm.
Those types of things can really make a very big difference. Family history, one person in her ancestors had thalassemia, and she was actually coming in for jaw problems. And there was a whole connection on that, because then there's an enlargement of the bone marrow because of that, which actually kicks off, makes you more susceptible to TMJ. And I actually had done a paper on one of her ancestors on one of my researches.
Oh, really?
And some of the
history. Before you even had met her.
Before I had even met her, so I knew exactly what was going on. We treated her, and she'd gone everywhere and gotten that, and we'd got it under control.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a complete understanding of the whole scenario. She was descended from one of the Siamese twins that were way back when. And one of them had a particular case that was actually almost the same as hers. And I had written a paper about that. And so I knew exactly how to work that and got her fixed up.
Oh, interesting.
So, you know, family history can be extremely important. So they're just story after story like that.
When we come back, let's talk about the importance of the examination.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
Laughter is the best medicine.
So she asks, how would you rate your pain? 4 stars. 2 enthusiastic thumbs up. She goes, how would you rate it on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the worst? Well, you know, saying a low number isn't going to help you. Oh, I'm a 2. Maybe the high 1s. You could give me a baby aspirin and cut it in half. Maybe a Flintstone vitamin and I'll be out of your hair. You can go 10 to all the 3s and 4s and such, if anyone's saying such ridiculous numbers.
The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
They don't have a medication for the coronavirus. But one of the ways that you can do that is boosting your own immune system. Beta carotene is a very, very safe way to do that. You can take large amounts of it, and it really helps with upper respiratory infections. The viruses have to be able to penetrate the cell wall. And monolaurin builds up the cell wall and makes it stronger. And if you are taking cholesterol-lowering drugs, you're much more susceptible to viruses. We, at this point, can make a homeopathic for all the coronaviruses, and then we can also add in the homeopathic for the COVID-19, which helps the body to isolate and to boost the immune system to attack the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. That's what homeopathics do. 1, 2, 3 punch, 3 simple types of things. Beta carotene, the monolaurin, and the homeopathic.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. Detailed lab tests are crucial to understanding your health. As Dr. Prather always says, if you don't test, you don't know. There are certain lab tests that all of us should have at least once per year. At the Prather Practice, we recommend three affordable tests that provide the blueprint to your health. The Prather Profile is the most comprehensive blood analysis available, providing more information about the function of your body than any other test. Minerals are the common deficiencies in the body, and hair analysis is the most effective way to analyze mineral levels. The bowels have the largest influence on the immune system, and the best way to test that is through the GI Effects Stool Kit. The Prather Profile Blood Analysis and the GI Effects Stool Kit are even covered by most insurances. Don't guess when it comes to your health. Discover the blueprint to your health at the Prather Practice by calling us at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a backache loving you. No pills gonna kill my head. I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue. We're talking today about the importance of history, exam, and diagnostics. And Dr. Prather, we've spent a lot of time talking about the history and how important that is, kind of an investigative work. And
sure,
I can tell that gets you excited.
It does. Mm-hmm. Finding out what's the underlying problem, it's challenging. It's always fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different for each individual. So there's always an interest and a peak. And if I wasn't doing this for a living, I would do it sort of as a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's such a rewarding type of situation to be able to do what you love,
mm-hmm.
what you really enjoy, and you find challenging. It keeps you young, keeps you interested, keeps you getting up and going to work and not dreading it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never know what new and exciting things you're going to find.
Right. Well, let's talk about the examination. Why is the examination so important?
Well, from the history, we find out where we're going with everything, and then with the exam, you confirm it.
Mm-hmm.
So you go in there, and I already have an idea that the gallbladder might be a problem, and then I go in there and palpate the gallbladder and can find it.
Mm-hmm.
It's sore, tender, I can feel the spasm around there. Then we do the lab tests and the other different types of diagnostics to find out for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the exam, that really helps us to narrow it down. Matter of fact, we have an MD and a nurse practitioner in there, and they love to see me do an exam. Because they're like, you can find out more things, you know, that we never even thought you could.
By touching the patient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things is I had a mentor, one of my mentors, Joe Maynard,
mm-hmm.
said that the best tool that a chiropractor has is his hands for touch,
mm-hmm.
because you can determine so much of that. And that's one thing that has been lost, especially in the medical schools, is touching the patient and finding out what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can go through and do my examination and basically find most of the issues. I can also prove it to the patient that that's an issue mm-hmm. and what's going on. I've been teaching the examination to MDs and nurse practitioners, too, and they're finding it extremely helpful. You know, getting mm-hmm. in there, really getting the touch in through there, I can tell exactly whether someone has a liver problem, gallbladder problem. Is it the ascending transverse or descending colon? Is it the small intestine? I can feel the kidneys and whether they're inflamed, dropped, the whole spine and what's going on. The muscles, you know, the knees, I can just go through and feel all of that
mm-hmm.
and understand it and know that there's a problem. Then we go and confirm it, but the examination, it can just show up so much on what's going on in the patient.
And I remember you telling me about your training when you were in college
right,
with the hair and the telephone
right.
pages.
What Joe Maynard did is he had us get the Atlanta phone book,
mm-hmm.
and he would put a hair in there, and then we had to be able to tell where the hair was. And we passed when he could put it in the middle of the yellow pages of the phone book and then draw exactly where it was, and we
wow.
could feel it on either side.
Wow. And that was just training for
yeah, it took
your
two
touch.
Years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and he told us it would take 2 years to be able to do that. But it was just training on touch. And so I can put my hands on people and basically tell what's going on, mm-hmm. Oftentimes even better than the imaging.
Wow. Yeah. Where it seems like we tend to go right to the imaging.
Yeah. And when we do the imaging, we know exactly what we're going for, too. We're not just exploring around. We mm-hmm. know where it's going to be, what I want to look at. I know what the results should be coming back.
And, you know, it's nice you mentioned the MD, the nurse practitioner, you as the chiropractor, the sure. acupuncturist. You're collaborating on the examination.
Absolutely. It's not just one person doing an exam, but we're rechecking different things, different aspects of that, sharing what we're finding and making sure, because, you know, more than one opinion on something is always a mm-hmm. positive thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we all have different ways of looking at issues.
And it's important the patient does get in a gown. I've noticed a lot of places, you know, people aren't getting gowned anymore. That's very important, right, to be able to do the examination.
You need to be able to get to the spot that you need to look at. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So after the exam, what can people expect?
Well, at that point, usually with the examination, I can actually say, oh, you've got a problem right here, and people said, oh, yeah.
mm-hmm.
So there's a great feedback. There's
or
a,
when
a,
I go in to go over what's being recommended, how did he know that? That's what I hear.
Then what we do is we talk about what lab tests need to be done, what further testing, range of motion, those types of things, imaging,
mm-hmm.
so that we can confirm, make sure that we know exactly what we're doing, and then also have a baseline to see if there's been progress or loss. And that's one of the things that's important. We document the examination or any of the testing that's going on. Not only are we trying to find out what the problem is, but we're also trying to measure improvement.
Mm-hmm.
So these third-party types of tests are good ways to see if we're making the progress that we should be, because it's not always clear to the patient. You need to have a third-party type of thing, because not until the whole thing's actually solved, you know, do you get the changes oftentimes in symptomatology.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to make sure that you're going in the right direction. If you're not, then you need to reevaluate and reassess and then start a new program.
Now, before you do your chiropractic adjustments, do you require x-rays?
There are exceptions to that. Children, pregnant women are mm-hmm. extremely easy to adjust. If we do have a situation where, you know, we're not going to take x-rays, it's all light, a reflex type of adjusting.
Mm-hmm.
But any type of manual adjusting, any type of neurological situation, yes, we do. We do want x-rays because it has a huge effect on how we adjust.
Mm-hmm.
Because we need to know, one, is there any pathologies that we need to be aware of? Are there any types of special biomechanics that are going on? It's just like we recently had a patient who came in for acupuncture, and I was saying, acupuncture is going to be real helpful, which it was.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we really need to get some x-rays and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is something that definitely needs an adjustment to be able to get you where you need to be. So, well, you know, I've gone to 4 different chiropractors and I really hurt mm-hmm. afterwards. And I said, well, we'll need to do some x-rays first and see exactly what was going on. I said, you know, what did they find on the x-rays? So, well, I didn't get x-rays. And I said, you know, and you hurt afterwards. And he said, yes. So we took the x-rays, and he had a spondylolisthesis of L5 with a grade 2.
And what does that
anterior.
Mean?
Well, anyway, in other words, he had a fracture in there where things had slipped forward.
Mm.
And the type of adjustment that was being done on him was completely contraindicated for that care.
Mm.
So it's like, yeah, I bet you did hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a specialized adjustment for that. And we did that adjustment, and he got up and he goes, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't even know I could feel like that again.
Wow.
And it was after the first time.
If x-rays had just been done,
that would have been very evident, and they should have known that then mm-hmm. that you shouldn't be doing that particular type of adjustment, that there's a specialized adjustment for that.
Mm-hmm.
So we did the adjustment, and he couldn't believe it. He's been coming back, and he says, I feel so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, now that's what you should feel like with chiropractic.
Mm-hmm.
Our patients don't feel worse. They can tell a difference
mm-hmm.
immediately.
Right.
And it's because we know exactly where the misalignment is. We know how to put it in, and we get it done.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about, you know, how thorough, because you have specific x-rays, especially for the neck area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say, well, I got x-rays here. Can I use them?
We look at them, and oftentimes they're not adequate. So we need to take our own. We have ours, our x-rays also read for pathology by the gentleman who wrote the textbook that is usually used in radiology. Yeah. And he said, you're in the top 1% of the x-rays that we get in.
The quality.
He said, if everybody had x-rays like yours, my job would really be so much easier. So it's gratifying on that, and we really try to go above and beyond what's required and really get what we need. So it's important to be able to read them to make sure you understand all the pathologies, and we really do a very thorough job on that.
Well, we have a couple more minutes in this segment. I just want to make sure that we're talking about x-rays, you know, as far as other diagnostics, real important, and if people have been a radio listener for a while, they know. But lab tests in our office, especially blood work.
Right.
And why is that so important?
It tells you more about the human body and the function of what's going on and the physiology of anything else. So blood work, you know, I'm a vampire. I love blood work. It tells me so much. I know exactly what's going on in the system. And I really try to make sure that there's no doubt about where the problem is. I mean, it tells me exactly not only what's wrong, but what I need to do to fix it. I have patients who came in and said, I've been everywhere. Why is it that you had such better results? And I look at what was done before, and I look at what we did on the lab test, and it's, you know, I'm cheating. It becomes a slam dunk at that point. So blood work, I love blood work. It tells me so much, and if I know what's going on, I know how to fix it, and then I know how to check it and make sure it's fixed, and it makes things much, much easier. A lot of the patients say, well, you're kind of a wizard, and it's like, I'm a cheating wizard. You know, it's like I have some glasses and I can see what's, you know, the cards are. Even though the cards seem to be face down, I can see them.
Yeah.
And that's what blood work does.
Yeah. Well, up next,
we'll be giving a coronavirus update.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
What is the difference between disease care and structure function care with reading blood work? And if we have a listener that's a new listener with our show, the Prather Practice, we practice structure function care.
Yeah, the FDA divides all care into two different categories. One, disease care model, which is based on pharmaceuticals and symptomatology, and then the structure function care, in which you're dealing with homeostasis. You're achieving homeostasis in the body. And homeostasis is health. Homeostasis is balance. Mm-hmm. And that homeostasis, if the body's able to achieve balance in homeostasis, then that is the definition of health. So really, we're health doctors. We improve the health of the individuals. We don't treat disease. And when you're interpreting blood work, those are two different ways of looking at it, which is a new paradigm for those who are in the disease care. They don't oftentimes understand. It takes a while to change their whole paradigm on the interpretation. Basically, what they're looking for in the blood work is when you qualify for getting a pharmaceutical. What we're trying to do is to look for what we need to do to achieve a perfect health. And so two different types of models, two different types of ways of looking at it, and getting that model into people's brains is a new paradigm. And it's a new paradigm within the healthcare system. So that's where we approach our model from. I mean, that's one of the reasons I have the radio program. So we're trying to educate and get the word out there, because this is a new paradigm that is hard for people to understand.
Very important. And you talk about how we need both the structure function care and the disease care model.
Correct. A perfect balance on that is 80% of the healthcare should be structure function based, 20% should be disease care model. Because we do refer out for pharmaceuticals, we refer out for surgeries. There are times where the body act requires those. We're not against those things at all. It's just that we need a balance and we need the two groups to work together. Mm-hmm. One of the things is that there's been a very much of a antagonism between the two groups, at which there surely shouldn't be. When we find the best results in the healthcare system is when the two groups are actually working together for the good and the benefit of the patient.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
It's a beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel like it's a beautiful day. To let it get away.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
So, Dr. Prather, what is the update with COVID-19 coronavirus?
It is officially now a pandemic. World Health Organization stated that they don't make that statement very lightly. But, you know, it reaches a certain point and then it can officially become a pandemic. It is in six continents, so it's spread throughout the entire world. It is something that is now a part of our type of infections that humans are going to be getting from now on. The last pandemic was actually 2009 with H1N1. Virus that was spreading. So that was the last pandemic. This one does have a very high death rate associated with it. And because it is brand new to the human population, has more of a effect and harder on people. It has been interesting kind of looking at the statistics and what's going on and who's getting it and what the mortality rate is and what it's doing to the body.
But also, I mean, more people have died from influenza.
Sure.
Right, than the coronavirus?
Yeah.
Is it the speed of it?
Well, not as many people were infected. So the influenza is something that a much higher percentage of the population had gotten. The influenza official death rate that's associated with it is about 0.1%. The death rate for the COVID-19 varies according to, they're not completely sure, but it's between 2 and 5%.
Okay. And you've been talking about that when it gets to that.
And it's because it is a new disease. We don't have the immunity to it. So the reactions are a lot more severe. A lot more people wind up on ventilators. So talking about the effects on the body, it basically goes in there. And quite a few people get it and don't have any symptoms. So the numbers could be wrong, you know, in the percentage, because really we're seeing the worst of the worst cases that get into the hospital. So it might be less than, but definitely the amount of damage that occurs in the body is a lot more with this COVID-19 than with any of the influenzas that are going around right now.
And you've talked about it. It gets into the lungs.
Yeah. Right? It gets into the lungs. What happens is that the virus enters into the cells of the body, and it goes in there and then reproduces, and then it explodes the cell and then moves on to the next one. So it basically, for people, it tears their lungs apart. So, you know, you start to get some fluid and inflammation in the alveoli, and that's when people have difficulty breathing. That's when people have the chest pains that are associated with it. And that's when they need to, when it gets bad enough, then they have to go onto a ventilator.
So who's at risk?
Well, it's interesting because we've gotten the information from China, what's happening over in Europe and some of the other countries. As long as there's ventilators, the lung problem seems to be able to be taken care of and controlled. So having the availability in the countries that don't have that availability are the ones that are having a higher death rate.
That don't have the ventilators.
Don't have the ventilators, don't have the equipment to actually handle that. Now, when it becomes a real problem And the people that seem to be having some issues is it also is traveling to the heart.
Mm.
And it's literally tearing the heart apart.
Okay.
And then there's nothing really that can be done when that happens. So the people that are at risk are, first off, people who have lung issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you have COPD,
mm-hmm.
That's a real problem. If you have asthma, that's an issue. If you are a smoker,
mm-hmm.
then that's a very big issue. And one of the things is that this is a real good motivation to stop smoking.
Mm-hmm.
The sooner you can do that, the better. Also, people need to be aware that smoking marijuana actually sets you up for a greater chance of having damage from getting the infection.
And the e-cigarettes.
E-cigarettes, yeah. All those different types of things. Anything that's putting pressure on the lungs. People who have a lot of allergies are more at risk because you have a higher inflammatory rate. But the ones that that have the problem that travels to the heart, interestingly enough, hypertension.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have a greater inflammatory process going on in the arteries. So that seems to really kick that off. And the inflammatory process seems to travel. Any type of heart issues. Mm-hmm. that you have or damage to the heart sets you up for a greater chance of having the virus head towards the heart. And when it does that, that's when there's really nothing that can be done.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're at risk for those types of things, then you have a greater chance. Also, type 2 and type 1 diabetes seems to be also another risk factor for this becoming more of a problem than the average person.
Are the elderly a little more at risk?
Yeah, it's interesting. The people who have been classified as the extreme, we were thinking that it was just really hitting the elderly because of the death rate.
Mm-hmm.
The older that you are, the more likely you are to die from it. But that's because of a weaker condition. But the younger people
mm-hmm.
are still getting it from 15 on up at about the same rate and having an extreme infection associated with that.
Okay.
So a lot of them are winding up on the ventilator. So even if you're young, it can fool you because, you know, they're talking about the death rate and think that it's only hitting the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are the ones that are dying from it. But a lot of people who are younger are winding up on the ventilator.
Okay.
Now, interestingly, from the group from 15 on down, don't really seem to get this very severely.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they have some type of a asthma, allergy, or weakened immune system.
Mm-hmm.
So those are seem to be the most protected age.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you're in your 30s and your 20s, even though this infection doesn't kill you,
mm-hmm.
it can become a very, very serious illness quite easily and something that you need to be cautious on.
Well, let's talk about the symptoms.
Sure.
What are some of the symptoms? How does it start?
Well, it seems just like a normal upper respiratory type of infection.
Mm-hmm.
So, quite frankly, a lot of people get it and hardly even notice it. And we're not quite sure why, but it seems to be those who have the best immune system, also the best nutrition seems to play a big role too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, really watching yourself taking it, because this can be something that you can get, not even know it, and then go on without really a whole lot of problems. But it's normal upper respiratory type of infections.
Mm-hmm.
You have the sinus congestion, you have the sore throat, you have a cough, usually a dry cough.
Mm-hmm.
instead of a moist cough.
Oh, okay.
And then when it starts to get more severe, then you have difficulty breathing and chest pain. And that's when, you know, that the whole problem with the lungs is starting to get severe and you'll need to have start to get some treatment.
Okay. Well, what can we do personally?
The people, like I said, the big things are, if you're healthy, this doesn't seem to be a real big problem.
Mm-hmm. If you've built up your immune system.
Right. You know, the main thing is during this time, you can't be doing stupid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now's not the time to go out
Define
and party.
Define stupid stuff. Oh,
well, party. And yeah. get out there, party, and stay up all night.
Mm-hmm.
Drink a lot, because that weakens your immune system. So really avoiding those types of things. Don't do drugs. Don't smoke marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Don't vape. Good time to stop smoking 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of yourself. Don't eat a lot of sugar. because that weakens the immune system. Antibiotics should be only taken if absolutely needed. So just getting an antibiotic type of treatment, because if you take antibiotics for 10 days, it weakens the immune system for 3 months. So, saying, well, you know, I'm just going to go get an antibiotic and tell the doctor. You should tell your doctor, I only want an antibiotic if I absolutely need it. One, antibiotics don't help with viruses, and also you get a whole weakening of the immune system.
Okay. Well, let's talk, too. We are providing at the Prather Practice the immune booster package. What's included in that immune booster package?
And also, why? Well, the biggest thing for upper respiratory infections is vitamin A. The best treatment for viral infections that we know of is vitamin A. World Health Organization, measles is the most contagious upper respiratory infection that we get. And vitamin A is known to actually treat that. So best way, you can get a toxic amount of that. So best way to take that is beta carotene. And that's one of the packages that we use.
Okay, so what do we have in that immune booster package? We got the beta carotene.
We have Vericidin, which is a product that strengthens, has monolaurin in it, and it strengthens the cell wall.
Okay.
So the stronger your cell wall is, the better off you are.
Won't penetrate.
So again, it's not a treatment, but it's a preventative, and builds up the immune system, because that's really all we have right now. Is building up the immune system.
So in that immune booster package, the beta carotene, Vericidin,
and then a homeopathic. And what the homeopathic does is it, again, doesn't treat the infection directly. It boosts the immune system. So if we have any different type of virus, bacteria, we can give a homeopathic specifically for that virus or bacteria. And then it stimulates the immune system to be able to attack it, and works extremely well. I mean, my patients homeopathics have been around about 250 years with excellent clinical results on boosting the immune system.
Let's go over that again, the immune booster package.
Right.
For $60, you can get the beta carotene, Vericidin, and the homeopathic.
Yes.
And so... you don't need to be a patient of the Prather Practice. You can call in. You can walk in and get that package for $60 now to boost your immune system. We also carry elderberry syrup. Elderberry is very important to build up the immune system. And you can also get that at the Prather Practice. Well, let's talk about, should we panic?
Panic never has good results. But, you know, it is something that 60 to 70% of the world's population is going to be getting.
Yeah.
So it is going to be causing a lot of problems, and we should be precautious. I mean, we shouldn't take this seriously.
We should take this seriously.
You know, the things that they're doing is shutting down the schools, avoiding large crowds. The longer that you avoid getting the infection, the less the infection becomes as virulent.
Okay. Should we travel right now?
Well, getting on airplanes, that's a real good area to kind of get. So if you can avoid traveling.
For right now,
it's not a bad idea.
We just postponed a cruise we're supposed to take at the end of July. Just postponed it right now.
As a precaution.
Yeah.
Yes.
Should we stock up on things?
At this point, you know, I don't think that there's a whole lot of things, but having some extra things, it would be just like a winter storm or anything like that. That's all we really need to be thinking about.
Okay. And we just have a few seconds here.
All right.
Dr. Prather, how long could this last, the COVID-19?
It's here forever, but the problem as a pandemic where it's really serious, I think really the next 3 months we need to be aware that this is going to be an issue.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather, for that update.
Thank you, Lisa.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.